Yep, let's do this. Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at noon. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How's quarantine life?
A lot of the same, but, you know, getting after it. Pulled my hamstring yesterday, trying to work out the kids a little bit.
Really?
Yep.
You got a wrap today?
No, I don't, but I probably should.
Before we get into draft stuff, just your reaction of the Jameis Winston deal in New Orleans for $1 million.
Yeah, I basically said a long time ago that I thought that Jameis Winston should sign a backup deal in Green Bay, you know, prior to the draft. Like, sign a backup deal there because, you know, he's 10 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's a guy that's aggressive with the football, but yet doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, there clearly wasn't an opportunity for him as a starter somewhere. And so go back up Aaron. And by the way, like, you know, with Aaron's injury history, you might end up playing a couple of games and it could literally be the Teddy Bridgewater, you know, situation for a guy like Jameis Winston. So, I mean, that's really what I thought as soon as kind of things happened. I think, you know, maybe he viewed himself as a starter for a while, the market dried up, but I mean, it just, to see that for a guy that's on the street, that threw for over 5,000 yards last year and 30 touchdowns, to have that be the deal. I mean, he's just kind of betting on himself, it looks like, and I think it's a good move on his part. But I'm surprised at, you know, how little money he was guaranteed.
Is he banking on this being the last year of Drew Brees?
I mean, he may be, and I think that there's probably a lot of people that feel that way. But, you know, I think it's probably for him, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, he stays in a division that he's familiar with. He, you know, he probably saw Teddy Bridgewater and the experience that he had in New Orleans. And, I mean, you just go look at, like everyone that thinks, like, Teddy Bridgewater is going to save the Carolina Panthers. Like, go look at. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's thrown more than like 16 touchdowns in a season or something, or, you know, like in a passing league. And people are acting like, you know, he somehow is like the answer at quarterback. So here's this guy that's actually, you know, done a lot of good things, done a lot of bad things, but done a lot of good things as a quarterback, you know, in the league. I think he probably looks at it like, look, if I get a chance to play here behind this, you know, 40-something-year-old quarterback, then I'm going to play well and change the narrative on what people think about me. So, you know, kind of in explaining, you know, in talking to Jameis, how I felt about the Packers drafting Jordan Love. I thought that was a horrible pick, and for a bunch of reasons. And I think you could have saved yourself some money, some angst, some could have also made your team a lot better after going 13-3 a year ago by signing Jameis Winston to a $2.5 million backup deal to Aaron Rodgers and draft a wide receiver in the first round, draft a tackle or a tight end, you know, or do something, move back a little bit and take a tight end. So, yeah, I think it makes sense for Jameis. I think it's a great deal for the Saints.
So the Packers have obviously been discussed a lot. We got to know Matt LaFleur a little bit and his short stint here as the OC for the Titans. Where is this going, Tim? I mean, it just – and here's what's interesting. You know, your employer putting out, I think it was on GetUp, and it's been on all the shows now. You know, this is a real concerning problem if you're a Packers fan, because I think Tony Kornheiser is the one who said on Monday that got the – or Tuesday that, oh, the Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers should request a trade. Well, as we've seen what the dead money and what it looks like, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are married for the next 2 years. There is no getting out of anything. So they're stuck with each other. How is this going to work?
Yeah, that's why I think this the whole thing was so dumb. I've heard people be like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. There's a couple things. Anyone that's related it to the Brett Favre, you know, Aaron Rodgers situation of, you know, Brett was a starter and then they drafted Aaron, they're totally different. Brett was talking about retiring every single year. He was never around in the off season. Like, you just didn't know. Plus, there were elements of how Brett was playing that made you feel like, well, you know, like most guys aren't going and playing in their 40s and playing well. Like Brett kind of started the trend of 40-year-old quarterbacks playing well, and then Peyton did it, and Brady's doing it, and Breeze is doing it. So, like, it was a totally different scenario. People also need to remember, you know, Brett Favre's the starting quarterback. They go 10-6. They draft Aaron Rodgers, and they win four games the next year. Four. With Brett Favre as the starting quarterback. Four games. And Brett throws like 29 interceptions or something. Like, it was horrible, absolutely horrible, and that ended poorly. And so I think you look at this situation for Aaron and the team drafting, you know, Jordan Love, you're exactly right. For the next 2 years, Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback. And I think we would all agree, like, when you watch him play, I think he threw 26 touchdowns and four picks last year. They were 13-3. Like, when you watch him play, you think, yeah, any reasonable person is going to be like, Aaron Rodgers can easily be the starting quarterback for at least two more years in Green Bay, right? We agree on that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So now that means you, Aaron Rodgers may have an awesome season in 2 years. And then you basically, because you drafted this guy in the first round, either are going to sit a first rounder for 3 years in a row, or you are going to move one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Like, you have forced your hand that 3 years from now, that is exactly what you're going to be doing. And so if you trade off Aaron Rodgers because you need to see Jordan Love play, then, you know, we've all seen it's a lot easier to get worse at quarterback than it is to get better at quarterback. So you need to start with that. And then the other thing is this. You guys, everyone here in Nashville just lived it. How you needed 5 years to figure out if Marcus could play, right?
Well, some did.
Like, well, you know,
some
you
did.
Do four, okay? But the reality is, like, you have 2 years to figure out if Jordan Love can play.
Yep. And he may not touch the field.
Then it's a wasted pick. And oh, by the way, you were 13-3 last year. And outside of Devontae Adams, you really had a bunch of young wide receivers that were trying to find their way with Alan Lazard and EQ Brown and all these guys, okay? And then you also get worse at tight end because Jimmy Graham moves on. Like, I think Aaron can kind of be abrasive and, you know, don't always love the way he handles things, but he should be furious.
That's why I'm saying, like, how are you going to make – and when, you know, now that all this stuff has come out where they have not spent – a first-round pick in 15 years he's been under center on getting him a wide receiver or a running back is mind-blowing. They've never spent a first-round pick on a wide receiver or running back since Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback? How does that make any sense at all?
Look around in general. Like Aaron Jones, he may be a college free agent. I don't know where Aaron Jones, how he entered into the league, but – it was not with a bunch of hoopla. And Aaron Jones, you know, around Aaron Rodgers, you know, was for part of the season last year playing like an MVP candidate.
Yep.
And, you know, Devontae Adams was a second-round pick. And so I think, you know, and he's turned into every bit as good as a first-rounder. But yeah, all these other guys are that have been the skill positions around him. You know, they have not invested in that. Now, they've invested a bunch on defense, and I think they needed to, you know, and they did through free agency and the draft. But and they've done a good job at tackle and all that. But, yeah, you need help. And, you know, I think at this stage to draft a quarterback in the first round in this – like, I'll give you a good example. A guy that I saw in person a couple times that – what to me was amazing is the Notre Dame receiver Chase Claypool. I mean, he literally is in terms of size, speed, combination. Like when you do some of the stuff from the combine, like he's the closest comp in many of these things to Calvin Johnson. But then when you watch him at Notre Dame, like he's a gunner on the punt team. He's, you know, insanely productive. And then outside of the tight end at Notre Dame, there really wasn't like a complimentary guy. And so, like, to me, he would have been such a weapon, you know, alongside Devontae Adams that, like, I think would have really helped Green Bay this coming season. And he clearly was available.
I spoke to a scout yesterday who told me that he was just dumbfounded at their third-round pick. the tight end from Cincinnati. He said they felt like in their room he was a sixth round grade at best, and the Packers took him in the third round, pick 94.
I will say, like, in terms of stuff, like, you never know how these guys, like, you know, in 2016 when Kevin Byard was drafted in the third round, you know, they're probably somebody, you know, like, oh, wow, third round for Kevin Byard, you know. He's outperformed that, like, crazy. Like, people weren't like, can you believe they got him only in the third round? Like, that wasn't the feeling. You know what I mean? So, look, the scout could be wrong. The Packers could be wrong. But I think one of the things that's, like, almost, like, not debatable is that, like, you're wasting the best years of Aaron Rodgers by drafting a quarterback in the first round after going 13-3. And being tied to him, as you said, Darren, with his contract the way they are.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, before we get back to the current, we have a job for somebody. You can run it up the flagpole at ESPN. There's probably some young, hungry people who are football people that would love to do this. We want to go back through all of the game film from we're going to start with the 1970s, and we're going to retroactively figure out who had all the sacks, because sacks were not an official stat until, I think, 1982. Oh.
Now,
which means guy like Mean Joe Green,
we don't want to do this.
Had no sacks in his career.
We want other.
No,
people
we don't
want to
do
that.
This.
Yeah, we do
but
not.
We feel like ESPN.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
You know, ESPN will figure out a way during this time where we have no, you know, we have no games to cover. We can go back and cover the games in the 70s. I think your dad would approve of that. He would be curious to know who had all the sacks for those Patriots teams that he played for, right?
I think it's a great, like, so whether it's like the Elias Sports Bureau, ESPN or you know, NFL, you know, research or whoever it is. I think it's a great idea. I mean, you think about it. Basically, every other American is doing projects that they thought they would never have the time to do.
We have the time. Let's take advantage of the time.
I power wash my driveway, okay? I power wash my driveway. I've filled a dumpster. I've cleaned closets and donated clothes. Like, I've done things that, like, I was like, I'm never going to have time to do this stuff. So, like, now's the perfect time. That was the absolute – I think it's a great observation and point by you. I think they need to get done. And by the way, like, just kind of while we're on that little tangent of doing things, like, if there's a project that you have had on a list or, you know, your spouse has been asking you to do it, and you don't do it during this time,
yeah,
then,
you're
like, you might as well just cross it off the list, because, like, you're never
it's never getting done.
They clean the basement, and then it doesn't happen during this time. Like, you might as well just submit your you know, application to Hoarders and get on the show. Like, I mean,
it's just not
in other
happen.
Words, it's so, never
so
getting
Tim,
done.
It just will never get done. What's next for Cam Newton? Here, as he sits there, and is there any scenario? We were tossing this around the last couple of days. Does a Cam Newton Bill Belichick match? Is that possible? What would that be like?
I think it's possible. Look, he matched with Randy Moss, and they signed Chad Johnson, and they signed Tim Tebow, and you know, they had Aaron Hernandez on their team for a while. They had, you know, Rob Gronkowski, who's, you know, got other interests, you know, besides football. Like, there have been plenty of personalities and guys that kind of were doing things their own way that, you know, had stints in New England that were successful. So, like, is he a perfect match? Is he personality-wise what Belichick is, you know, looking for? No, he's not. I mean, Cam, you know, they used to do these arrival shots in Carolina. Like, when he'd pull up to the stadium, that they literally looked like a music video. And, you know, I've always kind of said that, you know, what Cam wears on game day is they're not outfits, they're costumes, you know? I mean, he's different, and he's made a lot of money, and he seems distracted. All that being said, been league MVP, taking a team to a Super Bowl. I think he got like 56 or 58 rushing touchdowns in his career. Like, he is a really, really unique player. And if he is healthy, then, I mean, you're really hard to defend with him as your quarterback when he is healthy. So, like, to me, I think the best spot for Cam is to sign a team-friendly deal in New England and go win a bunch of games with the New England Patriots. Because there's all this talk about how, you know, the Patriots are happy with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer as their quarterbacks. Well, here's the deal, and I've known Brian Hoyer for a long time. They've cut Hoyer multiple times. When they traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, Hoyer was on the Niners. He wasn't even part of the trade. They just waited for the Niners to cut him so they didn't have to assume his contract, and then they just signed him to a league minimum deal. Like, that's how New England thinks of Brian Hoyer. And as for Jarrett Stidham, and then you guys may remember, look, I thought he was a first-round caliber quarterback a year ago. I think there's immense potential in Jarrett Stidham. But this is the New England Patriots. They don't just give starting jobs away. That's not their style. And so to have somebody come in and compete for a job with Stidham, even if Stidham wins it, then Cam Newton, there probably isn't a better guy to do it than Cam. So I think that one makes a ton of sense. I've been saying it. I think it was kind of the same time that I was talking about Jameis to the Packers. I think Cam to New England makes all the sense in the world. And I think that New England is probably just, you know, letting the price tag go down for Cam Newton, as there's people that are unsure about his health. And so the longer that happens, I think the less expensive he is for the New England Patriots.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Tim, how surprised were you that the Titans didn't address pass rush in the draft? And do you think that there's a correlation, that the correlation of that could be that they sign Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, I mean, I think there's definitely potential there. Obviously, you know, everyone's kind of, and I think rightfully so, I guess, that, you know, you try to connect the dots on relationships and past experiences. And because Vrabel, you know, is familiar with him, I think Clowney could make a bunch of sense. I mean, I for one think that Clowney is still a really good player and can play at a high level. I think that he's coming off a year with very little production in terms of sack totals, and I think that's hurt him a little bit. And, you know, based on probably what he's expecting to get when you look around, you know, I think there'll be some veteran pass rushers, you know, that are available. You know, I also think they're probably in a situation where, you know, they're kind of hoping that Harold Landry can be healthy and kind of, you know, elevate a little bit. Obviously they sign, you know, Vic Beasley as well. I think there's, you know, probably some natural pass rushing ability in Vic Beasley's game that maybe they feel like they can draw out of him. And so, yeah, I don't think they're done addressing it, but I also think that they probably feel like the guys they have also have some potential.
So what did you think about their draft class overall?
You know what? I think, you know, in many ways it makes sense. Like, I like the change of pace back. I think that's a good idea to address that, as, you know, moves have been made, you know, the running back position. I think, you know, like, to me, drafting quarterbacks late and giving them a chance to develop, you know, or compete and see what you have. Like, backup quarterback, like, I don't think is necessarily a position that they are done addressing. Like, I think you could easily see a veteran quarterback, you know, come on after getting cut maybe at the end of training camp or something like that. I'm not positive that they would go through the season in their current situation. So I think that makes sense. You know, I will say this only because you guys know, doing my college stuff in the ACC, you know, over the past few years, I've had NC State quite a bit. And, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on defensive tackles, but Larrell Murchison, when we would go meet with NC State, anytime, you know, we sat down with Dave Dorn, the head coach, or their defensive coordinator, and we would say, hey, who's the leader on your team? And every time it was like, Murch, you know, he's the best. Like, there isn't a guy on our team that doesn't have all kinds of respect for Larrell Murchison. And
So it's interesting. He's a guy that the coaches at NC State always had high praise for anytime I had their games.
Mm, interesting. Let's wrap up with this because I think we know your answer on who had the worst draft. You've already touched on that, or who did you not like? Who did you really like? Who's a team that really jumped out at you and you thought, you know what, you thought they nailed it for the draft?
You know what, I had a kind of a similar question on SportsCenter shortly after the draft. Two teams stick out to me, and you kind of get it. There's a theme of it for me. The Pittsburgh Steelers traded their first-round draft pick and ended up with one of the best safeties in the league, and they did it a year ago, you know, and so in Minkah Fitzpatrick. So, you know, they get Minkah Fitzpatrick, and then they draft Chase Claypool. And like, so to me, with your first-round pick, to have, a 23-year-old player who is one of the best defensive players in the league, like, you won the draft by the trade you made last season. And then the Indianapolis Colts are another one I think did a good job because, you know, they end up with DeForest Buckner. You know, they end up drafting a running back, which I think could end up being a starter for them, you know, at some point during the season. You know, they basically get DeForest Buckner, and then they have three guys that I think probably end up playing valuable roles for them, you know, early on. So I actually think both of those teams did a good job. And part of it is, and you guys know, it's like, you know, the NFL has done this amazing job of creating this environment of, you know, feeling like the draft is like the biggest thing. And you know, you look back on it and look, in 2018, the Titans' fourth round pick was Luke Falk, you know, like in 2016, you know, Kevin Dodd and Austin Johnson are second round picks. You know, it just, I think sometimes they get right on, and listen, I'm not being critical because, you know, looking back at the Titans drafts, basically from 2016 to now, they've hit on a bunch of players, and some of these guys they've hit on have been really, really good. I used Kevin Byard as the example a second ago, but, like, you know, to me, I think these things are 50-50 at best unless your team really, really does a good job.
You brought up Indy. Did you like their fourth-round pick in Jacob Eason or no?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Like, here's the deal with Eason that I felt. He, in some ways, a little bit less athletic version of Justin Herbert. Like, he's got a huge arm. He's a pocket passer. He's, like, there are elements of Eason's game that I think are similar to Herbert's game. Herbert goes as the sixth overall pick. Now, he's not as athletic as Herbert. You know, he doesn't run as well. But, look, I think that we would all agree that it's a really temporary fix with Philip Rivers. And, you know, that's a situation like, hey, like, is there a guy that has some potential that you feel like maybe there's a shot with? And, look, I'll use the example. If Luke Falk is a fourth-round pick in 2018, then yeah, I'm totally fine with the Jacob Eason pick. And I'll tell you another one. Like, Jake Fromm, you know, I don't know how it ends up working out. I think Buffalo is a bad spot for him. But, like, that guy can play quarterback. Like, you know, and who knows if it ends up working out for him. But when I watched him, like, he's the guy that I felt like, you know what, like, he'd come in. If he had to play in 2 years, he'd come in and do a good job.
Hmm. Interesting. You and the family continue to be safe. Thanks for joining us as always. And we'll talk next week.
Cool. Hey, stretch before you run with the kids, okay?
Yeah, we learned that, yeah.
Okay, and get to those projects.
Get to the And if you could help us on our project, you've got
a
better pool.
I'll put some feelings out there.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Tim.
All right. See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Great to chat with him every Wednesday at noon. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.